It seems people who have passed away have strong reservations about net neutrality. What is actually going on here? I'm Jonathan Strickland, and this is Tech Stuff Daily. For some time now, the Federal Communications Commission in the United States has accepted comments submitted by U.S. citizens on the subject of net neutrality. That's the concept that states that companies that provide internet service should allow access to all content and apps that rely upon the internet, regardless of their source. Further, they should do so without extending any preferential treatment to some services or hindering others. It's a hot topic issue in the United States in particular, and net neutrality advocates have been submitting comments on the subject for the last few years. According to James Harvey, who wrote about his experience on Medium.com, there have been several comments on the FCC site that are against net neutrality that are from some suspect sources. Harvey discovered that a surprising number of those comments originated from Sharpsburg, Georgia. That's a small town in my home state that in the 2010 census boasted a population of 341 people. It's also a town where Harvey grew up and isn't too far from where he lives now. Harvey decided to do some investigation. He had already noticed that many of the comments against net neutrality shared the exact same wording. That led him to conclude that the comments had been added in some automatic way. He went to Sharpsburg to find out why hundreds of people, essentially the population of the town, were so against the idea of net neutrality. According to his account, Harvey discovered that most people were unaware that they had apparently left a comment on the subject in the first place. Many had no clue what net neutrality was and denied ever having written anything on the subject at all. More than a few of the people on his list no longer lived in Sharpsburg and hadn't in years. And in at least one case, the person who had supposedly commented on the FCC site had died more than a year earlier. Harvey's suspicions seemed well-founded. Someone had apparently taken a list of people's names and addresses, most likely culled from a compromised database or collection of databases, and then populated the FCC's comments section with fake public statements coming out against net neutrality using bots. In other words, using a program to automatically populate those comment fields. The current chairman of the FCC has voted against internet service providers being grouped under Title II of the Communications Act of 1934. That group was created originally for telephone service providers. It's also the group that gives the FCC more oversight over ISP policies. He has advocated for a strategy of light regulation, and opponents to his point of view state that this leads to large companies solidifying monopolistic holds on regions and is ultimately bad for the customer. According to Carl Bode, who wrote about his own experiences on TechDirt, contacting the FCC about fraudulent comments is a waste of time. Bode claims that someone left a comment in his name on an FCC site that very much was in opposition to his actual views. He says that when he contacted the FCC to alert them to the fraudulent post, he was told nothing could be done. So what exactly are the two sides of this argument? Let's take the pro stance first. Net neutrality is supposed to require everyone to offer up a level playing field on the internet, regardless of the service or device that's in use. Ideally, any person accessing the internet should be able to use or visit any legal site or service on the internet itself. The user's ISP would not block any legal content, nor would the ISP put some content on a fast track while purposefully throttling other content. That last bit is important. Many ISPs, such as Comcast, don't just provide access to the stuff that's on the internet. Many of them also are in the business of making that stuff too. In a world without net neutrality, such an ISP could choose to boost its own content to users while throttling competing products. Here's an example. Without net neutrality, Comcast could choose to give its customers favorable access to its own on-demand video services while slowing down traffic from a competing service like Netflix or Hulu. Net neutrality advocates argue that this is an anti-competitive practice. Netflix doesn't have its own dedicated connections to customers. Its traffic has to travel across ISP infrastructure. It would be unfair, say the advocates, for a service dependent upon that infrastructure to find itself impeded purposefully. And since many regions in the United States have few options when it comes to ISPs, there's not much of a customer can do should their own ISP start engaging in that type of behavior. In an ideal world, customers could cancel a contract with one ISP and hire on another, one with a more fair approach to delivering content. but if you don't have any options open to you, you're stuck with whatever your ISP wants. Opponents to net neutrality say that the increased regulation is at best unnecessary and at worst holding back companies from innovating. Specifically, the argument states that if ISPs could charge content creators fees, in return for which the content creators would find their work put on fast track of the ISP's infrastructure, the ISP could then use that money to build out better networks with advanced fiber. This would lead to unprecedented data throughput and download speeds. The pro side counters with the argument that such a policy would stifle innovation because only really big companies would be able to afford those fast-tracking fees. Any startups would be at an enormous disadvantage, making it very difficult to discover their services. Plus, say the net neutrality advocates, ISPs have shown little interest in investing more money into infrastructure. They might find it more helpful to use that money to boost pure profit. The current FCC appears to be more sympathetic to the con side of net neutrality than the pro side. That has led some people to suggest that the FCC has no incentive to take allegations of fraud seriously or to even acknowledge opposing viewpoints. Where this will lead remains to be seen. That's all for now. To learn more about net neutrality and the tech policies that affect everybody, check out the podcast Tech Stuff. The show publishes on Wednesdays and Fridays and is a much longer, more in-depth look at technology. I'll see you again soon.